Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, this is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to another dual broadcast of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast and everything church-related podcast. So if we're doing that, you know we have something special lined up for you today. Amen. How many times have you wished you could just hang out with a successful business entrepreneur who's not only successful in business, but was also rooted and grounded in the Word of God, who knew who he was as a member of the body of Christ, and realized that all of the success he's achieved is because of the blessings of God working in his life? That these things were not just for him, but for everyone who believes. If that describes you, you are going to enjoy this broadcast. Amen. Let me tell you a little bit about Paul Moore, our guest today. Paul has an engineering degree and an MBA, and after working for a while with the Ford Motor Company in Detroit, he launched out on his own, started a number of different companies. Twice he was selected as a finalist for the Michigan Entrepreneur of the Year. Glory to God. His multifaceted real estate experience includes development and financing a subdivision. My Lord, that's a problem in all in itself. A Hyatt Hotel development, two successful online real estate marketing sites, plus an extensive investment, development, and management of several dozen, hear me, dozen residential and commercial projects. He's the co-founder of Wellings Capital, a commercial multifamily investment firm, and he's the author of the book, The Perfect Investment, Create Enduring Wealth from the Historic Shift, and we're going to talk about that shift. He's going to tell us all about it because I'm going to ask him about it, and also how he went from $2 million in the bank to over $2.5 million in debt, and then back again to being debt-free. Folks, help me welcome to the program, Paul Moore. Paul, thank you for joining us today on this program.
Robert, it's great to be here. Thank you for having me on today. This is a real honor.
Hey, man, we're excited. I want to jump right into this, but you know, let me get to that last statement, Paul. I want to at least lay the groundwork for our listeners before we get to that question about the $2.5 million. Before we do that, can you tell us just who is Paul Moore?
Well, you know, the question, part of the question is, who was I? And then the other half of it is, who am I now? Because I spent years, you know, I got saved right before grad school. And I heard Tony Campolo preach, and I really thought, I've got to go get an MBA. I'm not going to go to Ohio State. I'm going to go get some kind of ministry degree. I want to get an MBA at Tony's school, and I want to do mission work and all this. And I love all that stuff. But I spent years, Robert, years and years and years believing that a lie. And the problem was between my ears, and that is I believed that if I was really godly, I would be a pastor. If I was really, really godly, I'd be a missionary. And I had this problem, this false dichotomy that believed that there were spiritual and there was secular, that there was sacred and then there was normal. And I didn't realize that everything is spiritual, and I didn't realize that everything in our lives is about God and about his kingdom and about his glory. And I really thought, you know, in this false dichotomy, I believed in this false dichotomy, and I always felt a little inferior. What I didn't realize is that when I got saved 32 years ago, that I was drafted into full-time ministry right then, no matter what I was doing.
That's right.
And so I have finally realized in the last 4 or 5 years that as a child of God, as somebody who's filled with God's Spirit, that whatever I'm doing can be ministry, and whatever I'm doing should bring the kingdom of God, should bring on earth as it is in heaven. It should be bringing heaven to earth wherever I am. And so that's my passion, and that's my desire with whatever I'm doing now, Robert.
Amen. Now, you talk about supernatural business. Can you explain what it is you mean by that and how it not only applies just to you, but how it can apply to our listeners as well?
You bet. You know, Jesus prayed on earth as it is in heaven, like I mentioned, and that must mean something practical. And I think what it means is if it's not in heaven, then ideally it shouldn't be on earth. Right. And there's no poverty in heaven. There's no bad employees. There's no business failures in heaven. And so the question is, what does it look like when the kingdom of God invades the kingdom of earth? And I think it looks like his will being done. It looks like employees being treated well and paid fairly. It looks like bosses being respected. It looks like a culture where God, his reign and rule is just, is just in charge there. And it's kind of like, Chick-fil-A, if I can use them as an example. You know, I love their food and also love what they're doing in their culture. And, speaking of culture, think about this. Think about this, Robert. Bill Gates is one of the most successful business people in history. He's operating on 25% of our capacity. Think about it.
Yeah.
Number one, he's made in God's image, and we are too. So that's one he's got. Number two, now, as far as I know, Bill's not a believer. Maybe he is, but as far as I know, he isn't. So number two, you've got Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
He doesn't. You've got, number three, the mind of Christ.
Amen.
As far as I know, he doesn't. Number four, you got the Holy Spirit. You've
Amen.
Got God living inside you.
Amen.
So Bill's done really well for himself, operating on one quarter of our capacity. But, I mean, think about the capacity that we have. We have God in us. So doing business supernaturally, in my mind, is not just making a lot of money and putting money in the offering plate. And it's not just treating our employees right, but it's operating and doing things that are seemingly impossible on earth.
Amen.
Seemingly impossible in our business because, where the natural lets out, the supernatural takes over. And that's when God gets a lot of the glory.
Amen.
So do I have time to tell a story about?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. I want to tell you about what happened in Almolonga. This is a city in South America. In Almolonga, the people were destitute. Alcoholism was rampant. Crime was rampant. There were four prisons, and there was so much domestic abuse and so much alcoholism, so many bad things that were happening there that they had to ship prisoners out to other cities, to the prisons, because the four they had were bursting at the seams.
Wow.
And one guy who happened to be a pastor who was almost murdered, I think he was a pastor and a farmer, he put a stake in the ground one day and he said, I'm going to repent for the sins of this city. I'm going to repent for my sins and I'm going to pray and expect God to break in. And he gathered a bunch of farmers and businessmen. God answered in a big way, Robert. They started having three, in this little town in Guatemala, they start having three harvests per year.
Wow.
I've seen pictures, you can look it up online, of the carrots they grow. They're the size of a man's forearm. They used to have four delivery trucks going into the city every month to deliver their produce. Now they have 40 trucks, but not per month, per week.
Wow.
That's a 4,300% increase. Alcoholism is virtually non-existent there. Marriages are coming alive again. 85% of people reportedly have been saved. The last of the four jails shut down, and they've made the jails into other uses that the government's using. And there's people coming from all over the world to Almolonga, Guatemala, to study what changed, the soil is producing these massive harvests. And the answer is this:
God
healed their land.
Amen.
And you know what? God's interested in your land too, Robert, and he's interested in my land. And there are amazing things happening around the world by people who believe in God. I've probably got a dozen stories like that where God just healed the land or God healed a business. And, that's what I call doing business supernaturally.
Amen. Amen. Now, you talk about how you're like Tom's shoes of the real estate investment world. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Yeah, 11 years ago, a guy named Blake was on a vacation in South America, and he got the idea that if he could buy shoes that were locally made in South America, he would sell them in the U.S. he would use the profits to fund another pair of shoes to a needy child in a third world country. And this thing just caught on like wildfire within a few months. He was in the LA Times. He was getting calls from large department store chains. And he was selling thousands and then hundreds of thousands of pairs of Tom's shoes. So when you buy a pair of Tom's shoes, you don't have to – this is being – it's kind of silly, but you don't have to share your shoes with a child in a third world country. But you also don't get to choose what child or what country those that free pair of shoes goes to because right. the company does that. Okay. Well, in a similar way, when people invest with my company, with Wellings Capital – we're asking them, what are you passionate about? What do you want to see change in the world? Because we want to change the world. And so our investors don't have to invest a single dollar of their returns, but we will ask our investors, hey, where do you want to see some of your profits invested? And again, they get all their returns, but we take our corporate profits that we make that are connected directly to the money they invested, mm-hmm. and we invest that into something that they're passionate about and something that we're also passionate about. And
give me an example.
Example of that is human trafficking. I don't know if you've heard, Robert, but did you know that if you take the record profits of Apple and General Motors and Nike and Starbucks, the record year profits – combine those all together, multiply by two, that's the approximate estimated annual revenue from human trafficking in the world right now. It's stunning.
Wow. Yeah.
And it affects 21 million people directly and untold numbers of people indirectly. It's a modern day slavery. Mm-hmm. It's horrible. And I like to believe, Robert, that if I was alive in the 1820s, 30s, 40s, or if I was an adult in the 1950s or 60s, that I would have been fighting for human rights.
Yeah.
And this is a human right that's happening. It's a human rights violation that's happening right under our nose. And so our company is funding places like Exodus Cry, which is a ministry to help human traffic victims.
Now, that's... You know, people say, well, that's all, you know, like in Africa and stuff like that. But that's here in the United States as well, correct?
It is. It's amazing how much is happening right here in the United States. And I think people are starting to wake up to this because I talk to people all over the country every week. And they are telling me stories of human trafficking victims and violations in their own town. We're trying to buy an apartment complex this week in San Antonio, Texas, and there was a horrible example of human trafficking that was on the front page of the news 2 weeks ago in San Antonio. Many people heard about it.
Yeah. Now, that's when you're talking about investing in, you know, countering human trafficking, you're not talking about, okay, you hear about these ministries that go and buy slave girls just to set them free. You're talking about ministries that are going in and trying to rescue these girls and, you know, put a stop to the human trafficking, right?
Yeah, that would be a long discussion, but there are ministries that are setting people free in places like the Philippines. And from what I understand, if those girls aren't given a place to go, and if they're not given a new life, and if they're not given a changed heart by Jesus, then the chance of them going back on the street is almost 100%. And I hate to even say that, but we're funding places like Harvest Home in the central United States. It's a 300-plus acre ranch that brings girls into one of their 12 homes and gives them Jesus and gives them the supernatural power to believe that they have a new identity in Christ, and they walk out of there changed. Amen. And that's what we're looking for.
Amen. Glory to God. And that is definitely reaching the lost. I mean, they're lost spiritually. They're lost in the natural. They've fallen between the cracks, and they're being abused and tortured, yes, but abused, and the word I'm looking for is taken advantage of because they're lost. Nobody's looking for them, right?
Yeah. Yes, that's true.
Amen. Okay, let's shift gears a little bit. I hinted at it before, but let's venture down the road of $2 million in the bank to $2.5 million in debt and then back again. Tell us about that adventure. I'm sure it wasn't a smooth ride in either direction.
No, it wasn't actually. So we, when I sold my, so when I quit Ford in 1993, I started a human resource outsourcing company with a partner. And 4.5 years later, we were able to sell that. And I remember it was on the eve, literally the eve, of the huge Promise Keepers rally in Washington, D.C. in October of 1997. And when we sold the company, I was able to I was fortunate enough to put about $2 million in the bank, and I moved to Virginia. Okay. We wanted to raise our children in a more rural environment. And about 10 years later, I found myself at the height of, or at the beginning of the economic downturn, especially in real estate. Yeah. I found myself about $2.5 million in debt. Now, it wasn't just credit cards and, you know, debts, but it was, this was all tied to real estate that I owned.
Being upside down and
yeah. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we were flipping waterfront lots that just stopped selling. We had a waterfront home. We had other real estate we were selling. So it was all tied to real estate. And I, one morning I was sitting in my study and I felt the Lord say, I sensed the Lord was saying, what would George Mueller do? And I thought, what would George Mueller do? So I got to thinking about it and I thought, well, first of all, George Mueller, and of course, probably everybody here knows who he is, but he started a lot of orphanages in Bristol, England in the 1800s, and he housed a total of 10,000 orphans over the years. And I thought, first of all, he wouldn't be in debt at all, not a penny. And secondly, he would pray. And third, he would invest whatever money he had. So I thought, okay, well, what are you saying, Lord? And that very morning, our pastor, who never mentioned George Mueller before that I know of, mentioned George Mueller in his sermon. So I gathered the family together.
Hint, hint, hint.
Yep. And I gathered the family together and I said, okay, January 1st, 2008 is right around the corner. We're going to start giving a set weekly amount until the Lord rescues us or until we go bankrupt. I don't think I said the bankrupt part, but that's what I was thinking. And so we started giving a significant weekly tithe, if you will. It wasn't really a tithe because we weren't making any money, but I was giving a set amount every week to ministries, to our church, and we gave that same amount and every week. And about 4 weeks into this, by the way, my friends gathered me together at a Hardee's restaurant and said, you must be crazy. How are you going to avoid bankruptcy at this point? What are you thinking? And I said, well, we're going to give our way out of debt. Amen. I don't know how that's going to work, but we'll see. So anyway, about 4 weeks later, I met a friend at a Subway restaurant in my town. And he was
How you're going out to all these fancy restaurants.
You bet. Parties and now Subway. Well, I couldn't afford anything to
that's
me.
That's why I said that. Yeah, amen.
That's right. So,
but that just brings it down to the realistic level for a lot of our listeners, see?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Amen. So I met this guy, and I can't remember if we set the meeting up or if I just ran into him, but I told him my plight. And I said, I've got this 1 5-acre piece of property that if I could only subdivide it into 5 waterfront lots, it would be worth, you know, $1.5 million or so. The problem is I owe $860,000 on it to the bank and I cannot subdivide it. And he said, oh, did you ever think of this? And it was just a little technical term that I was aware of. And I said, that won't work because of such and such reason. He goes, huh, well, maybe it would if you only did this. And he mentioned something else. Mm-hmm. And it was like a light bulb. It was like I got this sudden download from the Lord. And it was like, oh, my goodness, wait a minute. What if I could do that? Mm-hmm. And so 2 days later, I sat in front of the administrator from the Planning and Zoning Commission at the county. And I said, hey, what if I did this? And she looked at me up over her glasses and shook her head. And she said, no one's ever used our law that prohibits subdividing land to subdivide land. But you figured out something that we must have missed all these years. And I've got to tell you, you can do this.
Amen.
And so we did it. And 13 months later, we kept giving at the same rate. And it was painful. It was tough. There was money involved. There was almost a lawsuit involved. But 13 months later, Robert, we were completely debt free.
Praise the Lord.
It's amazing.
Amen. Now, you encourage, obviously, others to give their way out of debt, and we hear, you know, we'll talk about that, but we also hear about the, you know, give till it hurts, then give some more, then God will bless you. But you're talking about in a different light, right?
You know, I'm what I'm talking about in this case is when I didn't have income. It's another way of looking at it is I was giving ahead. We were operating as if we were making, let's say, $500,000 a year in income. We were giving at that rate. And I'm not saying it was kind of I would not say it was a name it and claim it faith thing, because I don't really like that term at all or like that concept. But I do, let's face it, there are promises in God's word. He says, test me in this and see if I won't bless you so much you can't handle it. Well, it's true. And God did it. God came through, and it was just an amazing story for our four young kids to see.
Amen. You know, I love the scripture, you know, give and it should be given to you again, a good measure, pressed down. And a lot of people just read it all together, pressed down, running over, you know, men shall give into your bosom. I stop and I've seen this. And I made an annotation of it in my Bible. And now when I pray it and read it, it says, give, and it shall be given to you again, a good measure and pressed down. And running over, men shall give into your bosom. You know, and I found that that is actually true. You know, that when you give, not pretentious, you know, you don't set, you know, like, well, God, here's my $100, and you know what you got to do now. You know, now, when you're giving like that, you're not giving, you know. But when you give with no ties, no strings attached, you're just sowing because out of love, put it like that, then God will. You know, as we talked off the recording about our ministry, you know, the radio ministry, we don't set any charges for broadcasting on the radio station. And God said, just trust me. And it's been 7 years now, and every month the budget's been met, you know. Uh-huh. And it's the same thing. I'm sowing this time. I'm sowing my efforts, my skills into helping other ministers and pastors to use broadcast radio to get their messages out. And then God takes care of the rest. Not only does the word go out, but we got enough income in to keep things running. But that's what you're talking about. You're talking... And correct me if I'm wrong, that, you know, when you give, release it, let it go. Don't say, you know, what did you do with that $1,000 I gave you? You know, once you give into another ministry or whatever, it's theirs. And you're sowing into the work they're doing, you know. So you're doing the work. You are actually doing the work by sowing into that ministry. You know, the money you're doing is allowing them to do X, Y, Z. So really, you can put your name on it, and God's going to bless that. And and from your story, from your book, I know he did. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah. Now, you want to encourage people to do ministry outside the four walls of the church, and you're kind of encouraging them to operate in this supernatural business mode, okay? What steps can a Christian business owner do that will put them on the right path to financial freedom? Not just success, but financial freedom.
Well, I think the first thing I would say is that Christian business owners need to be sure that they don't crucify the resurrected man. Mm-hmm. And here's what I mean. Jesus said, I believe in the Gospels, he said approximately 7 or 8 times, we need to die to ourselves. Mm-hmm. I read in John 12 this morning that unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. Yeah. But if it dies, it grows, you know, a harvest. And but in 42 times in Romans 6, 7, and 8, it talks about the resurrected man and about, you know, the dead man is dead and the resurrected man is alive. Amen. And I think for years, when I told you about the problem I had all over all those years, I think I was crucifying the resurrected man. I was kind of saying, I remember saying, I'm only a businessman. Mm. I'm not boy, if I was really spiritual, I'd be a pastor or a missionary or doing something else. And I think I was praying John the Baptist prayer, and you know, John the Baptist prayed a great prayer, but I don't think it's for us.
Yeah.
And that prayer was, you know, he must increase and I must decrease. But you know, I agree that we need to die to our selfish desires, but what if we're also trying to kill off the desires God put in us? What if somebody on the that's listening today has a desire to do home staging or to be a florist or to do something else creative with the talent God gave them. If you're killing off those desires and assuming that selfishness, maybe you're killing the very gifting that God put in you.
Wow.
You know, it says that when the Holy Spirit came on Gideon, it's the only place that I know of in the Old Testament where it says that the Holy Spirit, I think it's in Judges 5, it says it came on him. And the word, the Holy Spirit came on Gideon, was as if he put Gideon on like a glove.
Yeah.
Now picture yourself as a glove for the Holy Spirit and imagine him filling you, but not filling you just to do what people would typically call ministry in the four walls, but to fulfill the passion that he gave you and the calling that he gave you and using the gifts and the skills that he gave you. You know, I spent years, I didn't want to admit it, but I was jealous of other people doing ministry. And you know, if anybody listening ever caught a vision for what God thinks of them, the passion, the love, the burning desire he has for you as his son or daughter, you would never be jealous again for anyone else's ministry. And you wouldn't feel inferior. You also wouldn't feel superior because you're going to be rewarded for the faithfulness that God, that you've given for what God called you to do.
Amen.
And so the first step I would say is don't crucify the resurrected man and go out and just, you know, really listen to God and ask him, you know, what talents did he give me? What desires did he give me? And how can I use those to fulfill his calling for my life on the earth?
Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. Are you getting some value out of this interview with Paul Moore? Praise God. I know I'm taking notes. I hope you are too. That's all the time we have for today. So we're going to continue this conversation with Paul Moore tomorrow. I want you, I mean, the interview just gets better. Glory to God. You need to come back and listen to part two tomorrow as he continues to teach us about how to use businesses to fund ministries. Be blessed in all you do. We'll talk to you tomorrow.